5 years old, I went for the first time to a Bible-believing Baptist church. I had no shoes on. I had a pair of khaki trousers on that were patched at the knees. I had on a little white t-shirt. My mother took me. We walked 2 miles from our little shack of a house that had kerosene lamps and lanterns and wood stoves and outhouse in the backyard. We walked 2 miles to the Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. That's the first time I ever attended a Bible-believing Baptist church, the age of 5. My mother was a Methodist before then. We walked in and stood back in the back, and the building was about empty. We got there real early. Seated 400 people. I'd never seen a building that big before. Mom and I stood back in the back, and a little lady walked up this aisle and came back in the back and shook our hands, and she said, "Good morning. How are you this morning?" And my mother said, "Fine." And mother and I both just obviously very, very poor. And she said, "What is your name?" And my mother said, "My name is Mrs. Hiles." And she said, "My name is Mrs. Bethel." And she said, "This must be your little boy." And my mother said, "Yes, this is my little boy." And she said, "Wow, you're a cute little fella." And I was a very, very cute little fella. I'm a pretty cute big fella, too, but I was a very cute little fella. And she said, "Sonny boy," she said, "What is your name?" And I said, and my mama said, "His name is Jack." "Oh," she said, "that's a cute name. That's a pretty name." And it is a very, very pretty name. And she said, "Could I call you Jackie boy?" And I said, and my mother said, "Well, of course you can call him Jackie boy." She said, "Jackie boy, how old are you?" And I said, and my mama said, "He's 5. "Oh, goody, goody, goody. Jackie boy, you'll be in my department. I'm the beginner superintendent, and I teach the 4 and 5. You come with me." So I came with her, and we walked down the aisle there and walked out that door right there. And not that very door right there, but the one in the same place in the church. The first door on the right was the beginner department, and I went for the first time in my life to a Baptist Sunday school. I walked in. Mrs. Bethel put me on her knee. 20 little boys and girls out there. All the little girls had on nice dresses, and the boys had on nice trousers and white shirts and ties. And Mrs. Bethel put me on her knee, my bare feet sticking out underneath my trousers. And she said, "Boys and girls, we are so fortunate today. We have a visitor, and his name is Jackie Boy Hiles. Aren't we glad to have him?" And nobody said a word. And Mrs. Bethel reached over and looked at me, and she said, "Jackie Boy, did you know that Jesus loves you?" Now, Mama told me that every night, but nobody else ever told me. My daddy was the neighborhood drunk. I had never eaten a hamburger, never had a birthday present, never had a Christmas present, never had a Thanksgiving dinner, never had a Christmas tree. And we were the poor trash in the neighborhood. And that teacher said, "Did you know that Jesus loves you?" And I looked up at Mrs. Bethel and I said, "Mrs. Bethel, does he love me as much as he loves the little boys and girls that have on shoes?" A tear escaped her eye and invaded my brow. And she said, "Jackie boy, I think he probably loves you more than he loves anybody in this room this morning." And that's where I first learned outside my home that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. And I learned it for the first time. Hey, by the way, I was preaching in Dallas, Texas a few years ago, and I finished preaching. Great crowd of people, about 1,000 folks, and signed Bibles and shook hands. I was standing at the church, and everybody was gone but me, the pastor, and the custodian. And the custodian said, "Pastor, a little lady back here wants to see you." I said, "Yes, pastor, a little waiting for you back there." A little short, sort of fat, white-haired lady, and she's twisting a handkerchief like this. And the pastor went back and said, "May I help you, please?" And she said, "I'd like to talk to Dr. Howes if I could." And I said, he said, "Dr. Howes, it's for you." And I walked back and I said, "May I help you? My name is Jack Hiles." And that little fat old lady with white hair, she, wrinkled face, she said, "Dr. Howes," she said, "my name is Bethel." And I said, "Are you Mrs. Bethel? That a third of a century ago put me on your knee and told me Jesus loved me?" And she said, and I said, "God bless you, Mrs. Bethel." And I hugged her. I hugged all of her I could. Couldn't hug all of her. And I hugged her. And I said, "Mrs. Bethel," I said, "all these years I've been going all over the nation telling people that God loves them. And all of it started when you put me on your knee years ago. It all started at church. On Thanksgiving Day, 1932. My mama opened the cabinet and got the one thing we had in the house to eat. One potato. That's all we had. Mama peeled that potato and cut it up and put it in some bacon grease and fried it. On Thanksgiving Day, 1932, my mother put that potato in the middle of the table. And she bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, thank you for our Thanksgiving dinner." She said, "Dear God, I don't ask for anything for myself, but my boy can't help it because his dad's a drunkard. And my boy can't help it because he hadn't got anything to eat. Lord, don't let my boy go hungry. Dear Lord, feed my son." While my mother was praying, there's a knock on the door. "Thanksgiving basket from Fernwood Baptist Church." And my mother went to the door, and there was a big basket with chicken and dressing and pumpkin pie and cranberry sauce and English peas and banana pudding. And Mama came in, and she put the food on the table. And I sat down, ate it, and Mama danced around the table, clapping her hands and saying, "Praise the Lord, glory to God." You say, did you shout? I shout better on a full stomach than on an empty stomach. And so I shouted after a while. By the way, I'm saying that's the church. Every Christmas I had when I was a little boy, the church brought us Christmas gifts, a Christmas tree. Every Thanksgiving, we had a Thanksgiving dinner. The church brought it. And every time the church door was open, Mama, they used to say, "Miss Howes and Jackie Boy." That's what they called us, Miss Howes and Jackie Boy. Always sat with Mama. We went to church, and they said, "Here comes Miss Giles and Jackie Boy." Always on time and always there. First pair of shoes I ever owned, the church gave me. The first hamburger I ever ate, the church bought it for me. The first new toy I ever owned, the church bought it for me. The first ball team I ever played on, the church organized the team. When I was a teenager, I didn't go into sin, never took a drink of liquor, never smoked a cigarette, never got immoral, but I got in the wrong crowd, and the church prayed me back, and I got right with God. You know, they used to say to me, my teacher said, "Jack, we're praying for you." I said, "Pray for me. I come to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night." "Why pray for me? Pray for sinners." But Jack, something's wrong. And there was something wrong. I was in the wrong crowd. And one Sunday morning, I was sitting back there, and the choir was singing, "Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided. My spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me," with a song. And I came down the aisle, knelt at the altar, and got right with God. The church cared for me when nobody else cared for me. We read a while ago these verses. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I have here the most expensive bow that we could buy today in this entire area. I have here arrows in one of the quivers that's supposed to be attached to the bow. Now, these arrows represent a young person. The Bible says that. I read it a while ago. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. And this arrow right here represents you. I want you to follow me carefully. A little object lesson I think will help you. This little arrow, I say little arrow, it's a deadly arrow. Anybody here shoot a bow? Who? Come up here. What's your name?
Yes,
shut up. What's your name? Greg what? Mandrager?
Yes, sir.
What a lousy name. Mandrager.
It's Polish.
What's your first name?
Greg.
Greg Mandrager. If I were you, I'd change my name. Maybe to Jim Mandrager or something like that. I'd hold that. like you're supposed to shoot it. And I put the arrow in it. Point it toward him. Let it go when I tell you. Just point it toward the wall somewhere and show us. Don't shoot it. Just point it. Yeah, point it to somebody you don't like down here.
The guy that picked me.
All right. just point it like you're going to shoot it. All right. How do you hold it? Put your finger on it like that. All right. Now turn around, and face it. Don't pull it back so it won't go off. But just hold it right there. Now I was in Atlanta, Georgia several years ago. Dr. John Rice was preaching, and he preaching on something else, but read it. And as he read the scripture, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. This bow here represents the church. And this arrow represents a young person. Now I want to say this. And that is this. The church purpose is to prepare you to be launched. One little flaw, one little flaw in that feather right there, and tell me if I'm wrong. when they make this arrow, one little flaw in that feather can throw that arrow off yards in its destination, can't it? That feather must, those feathers must be exactly right and equal, exactly the right weight. One little overbalance on the tip could throw that thing off a little bit. Is that right? And that means that while we're working with young people, we have to watch it very, very carefully. For young people are that arrow. And one little mistake by one Sunday school teacher who's not there faithfully, who takes a weekend trip about once a month, can throw an entire life completely off. Or one youth director that's not as careless in his behavior. Or one Sunday school superintendent, or one youth worker who's not careful. Listen, I've said this many times. One person who really cares for a teenager can change his life. Just one person. Now, that means we've got to be careful. Now, that means this. If you are an arrow and we're working on you, that means you've got to be there. I mean, if we're working on you and trying to help you, you've got to be there. We can't train you if you're not there. If you're not in Sunday school and church and youth activity and there on Sunday night, we can't help you. Look, you've got to launch a flight. In just a few days, every one of you will launch the flight of life, and you'll be out in the air away from the church and away from the school and away from mom and dad and away from the preacher, and your entire flight depends on how you're prepared before you leave. How careful we workers ought to be. How careful we pastors ought to be. Oh, by the way, kids, when you're in battle, that arrow will just make one flight. That's all. Not another. One flight. When the Bible says that arrows are like the children of youth, that means that you, this arrow is you. That means that you'll just make one flight. And you haven't got to. Listen, once, young ladies, you've gone out to Lover's Lane and gotten yourself pregnant and given birth to a child or had an abortion, once you've done that, I mean, it's gone. The best is over. You'll never be what God wants you to be. One life to live. Just a few days ago, she came to see me. She sat right here last year. Right here. She said, "Preacher, I'm pregnant. I told her not to go with the boy. I told her he was bad news. I told her she ought to live right. I told her she ought not to go out mixed bathing and wear shorts in public. I told her she ought to dress like a lady, look like a lady, and go with the right boys and hang around the right crowd. And for years while she was growing up, I begged her and pleaded with her to do right. But now, this morning, this afternoon, she carries a baby in her own body, and she has no husband, and her life is wrecked, and she sits there in heartache and heartbreak. Listen, young ladies, hey, listen to me. The devil's a liar. The devil's a thief. You just have one chance to make your flight, and if you blow it, you won't have a second chance." She was a high school student. She came just a few days ago. She decided she wanted to get married in high school. How stupid. How foolish. She decided to get married in high school. We told her not to. She, her boyfriend, both of them still in high school, left, ran off together. But she was an inner circle girl. She was a fine girl. She's the kind that put notes under my door and said, "You're the greatest preacher in all the world." And but she fell in love with this boy, she thought, and she married him. I said, "No, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. There's a bridge out down the road. Don't do it. You're a fool. Listen to the preacher. Look, I don't have a few things I'm trying to keep you from doing that are fun. I'm trying to figure out, I know how it ends up when you do certain things. Oh, by the way, they have a baby now. A few days ago, she came to me. She left him. Bruised, where he had beaten her, home with mother. She sat here 2 or 3 years ago. She decided to launch her flight too soon. And so she took her flight. Never take it again. One time through life, that's all. And, all right, now I want to say this. The arrow must not leave until fully prepared. By the way, the arrow does not decide when it's ready to go. This arrow doesn't say, "Shoot me now. I want to go. I want to go." No, he decides, and the bow decides. The arrow does not know when it's best to go. The arrow is in the hands of the archer, and the bow is in the hands of the archer, and the arrow does not know when it's time to go. And that's why, young people, you ought to trust us, and you ought not to go till we say it's time to go. Young people, look at me. Finish high school. Go to a Christian college. Finish a good Christian college. Find some young person that loves God. Marry somebody that agrees with the standards of your church and your preacher. And I want to say this too. Kids, trust your preacher. I'll say to these kids here of mine, I dare you, I double dog dare you, to find any kid that's ever trusted Brother Hiles who has his life ruined. I dare you. Find me one. Find me one. One. Find me one. Listen to me. Listen to me, kids. Listen to me, girls. Listen to me. I dare you to find me one child. One adult. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Find me one. Find me one. Who's trusted the preacher. Who has a wrecked life. I can take you to dozens of our kids that made up their own mind. I'm ready now. Wait till the archer says go. I'm ready now. Wait till the string is pulled and you're aimed properly. Wait until you're prepared. Don't leave till you're prepared. Don't run off half-cocked and don't leave half-prepared. And don't you decide on your own. Well, you say, "I'm old enough to decide myself." No, you're not either. No, you're not.
Listen, you are more adult. Hear me carefully. I want to make a statement I never made. You are more adult than your parents think you are. But you're not as much adult as you think you are. Your parents say you're short. They do. And they think you're more childish than you are. And the truth is, you are more mature and more adult than they think you are, but you are not as much adult as you think you are. Something else about this era. It must be aimed. You don't take an arrow and just shoot it anywhere. You have a target, right? You shoot the arrow at the target. And every young person ought to have an aim, like I said last night. A goal. An aim. I'm going to do this. This is where I'm going. I'm going to do it. It must be aimed. Something else about it too. Let me carefully. If you shoot that arrow and it's off course, it will not know it's off course at first. It won't know it. It'll be so near on course till it will be many, many yards before that arrow knows it's off course. The same thing's true with you. I don't see anything. You don't have to see anything wrong. You trust us. Here's the way. Here's the way you think we've drawn. Brother Eddie, come here. Dr. Evans, come here. Here's the way you think we draw up the rules. You're going to be you're the president of the college, and you're the youth director, okay? And I'm going to be the pastor. And here's the way you think we draw up the rules. I hate these kids, don't you?
Yes,
don't
yeah,
you?
I'm against them.
Don't you?
Yeah, yeah,
I hate them, don't
yeah,
you?
Yes,
don't you?
Terrible.
Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you? Don't you?
Yes.
I hope these kids never have any fun as long as they live, don't you?
Right.
Don't you?
Right.
Don't you?
Right.
Don't you? Don't you?
Right.
Answer
yes,
me.
Right. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I hope they never have any fun. I hate them, don't you? Don't
yes,
you?
Sir.
Don't you?
Yes,
don't
sir.
You?
Yes,
boy,
I got an idea. I got an idea.
Boy, you smell terrible.
Smell so good yourself.
It's that right guard. But I got an idea. Hey, what you got, Vanaka?
Yeah.
Put some under your arm here too, would you? I got an idea. Let's figure out everything we think is fun, make it against the rules.
Let's do it.
Right.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And because I hate them, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Don't you? I don't want to ever have any fun, don't you?
Never.
Do you?
Right.
Do you?
Right.
Do you?
Right.
Let's make all everything we can think of is fun. Okay? Okay. All right, dance is fun, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me.
Yes, it's fun.
Dancing's fun, isn't it?
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
I know what let's do. Let's make dancing against the rules. Boy, oh boy. Boy, I tell you, they're going to go through 4 years of hell in this school, aren't they? Huh? Because we hate them, right?
Yeah.
Right, 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 right,
right,
right, right. We hate them. That's right. So they can't dance. Let's make it against the rule to dance. Hey, I do what let's do. Let's make it against the rule to hold hands. Woo, holding hands is fun, isn't it?
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun,
great.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, right. Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Hugging's fun, too, isn't it?
Cool, yeah.
I got an idea. I hate these kids, don't you? Don't
right.
you? Don't you?
Right.
Don't
right.
you? Don't
right.
you? Don't
right.
you? Don't
right.
you?
Right.
Let's make it against the rule to hold hands.
All right.
Boy, I hope they go through 4 years of hell, don't you?
Yeah, right.
I hate them, don't
Amen.
You?
Right.
That's right.
Boy, make it as hard as we can.
That's
let's
right.
make this a combination boot camp and convent. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, let's make nuns out of the girls and nothings out of the boys.
All right.
Say, okay.
All
okay.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I hate these kids. Don't
yes.
you? Don't you? Don't
yes.
you? Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you? Don't
yes.
you? Don't.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Let's see. What else is fun?
Drinking.
Drinking.
It's fun.
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Great.
Let's outlaw it.
I love it.
Boy, I hate it. Don't you?
I hate it.
Boy, I hope we can make it so they never have any fun. Don't
right.
you?
Right.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Right.
Don't you?
Right.
I hate them. Don't you?
Right.
You? Don't you? Don't you?
Right.
Don't you?
Hate them.
What else is fun?
Marijuana.
Marry who?
Marijuana.
How about movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's outlaw them.
All right.
Okay, so we'll outlaw movies, okay?
Right.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
okay, okay,
yeah.
okay, okay.
Yeah.
okay.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to build a school, boy. We're going to advertise all over this country. And then when we get them here, are we ever going to let them go through where the Booker man lives? I'll tell you, boy, we'll get them. How many of you think that's the way we do it? Here's the way we do it. Thank you, fellas. Here's the way we do it. We check every path that any young person we've ever seen has ever taken. And we find out how they turned out. And then come back and tell you kids what we found out. For example, here's a path right here. And we say, okay, we're going to figure out, that's a pretty path, a lot of fun, exciting, thrilling, wonderful. Oh boy, and we're going to find out how it turns out. This is the smoking path. This is the marijuana path. This is the rock music path. And listen, I'll tell you something else too. There's not one thing that has wrecked as many lives as rock music has. Not dope, not liquor, not marijuana, not movies, not dancing, not Lover's Lane. There's not one. And by the way, anybody in this room who is the fan of Michael Jackson is not right with God.
Amen.
I said you're not right with God.
Amen.
And by the way, and if you're not clapping right now, if you're not clapping, then start clapping.
Amen.
Listen to me. You say, what's wrong with that? Oh, shut up. You know what's wrong with it. Anybody believes in decency knows what's wrong with the Michael Jackson stuff. Anybody believes in America and decency and the family and love and honor and integrity and chastity and purity. Anybody who believes that, you know what's wrong with rock music. There are two types of kids in this room. Those that know what's wrong with it and don't listen to it, and those that know what's wrong with it and do listen to it. So we follow the path and we say, okay, we're going to find out where it goes. It's a lot of fun. A lot of singing. Boy, oh boy. A lot of fun. Yip, yip, hooray. Rah, rah. It's a lot of fun. But we find out where it goes. And so we follow the path. And follow the path. And then we find out where it ends. Hey, kids. Those folks out there are miserable. Broken hearts, broken lives, broken dreams, broken air castles, broken homes, broken health. They're miserable out there. Hey, kids, don't follow this path. Don't do it. Don't do it. Kids, everybody that's ever gone that path ended up with a chair that was messed up around the wires. Kids, everybody in that room is unhappy. They're miserable. Hey, kids, don't do it. Don't come this way. Hey, don't do it, kids. Don't come this way. That's what the rules are all about. That's why we get up here and holler and make rules and preach. We're not mad at you. It so happens we love you. He came to my office. He came to my office. He knocked on my door late one night. I was in an appointment, did not go to the door. I finished the appointment, walked outside. There he sat in the waiting room. A boy that grew up from our church, he was in our nursery. Beginners, primaries, juniors, junior high school. And there he sat, his eyes bleary. Stared at me as if trying to make it focus where he could see me. And he said, "Preacher, there's nothing I haven't done. I'm hooked on liquor. I'm hooked on dope. Name it, I've done it. Name it, I've had it. Preacher, I was in St. Louis, Missouri. I'd go down and down and down. And brother, the devil, always you end up down. It's fun for a while, but the best day you ever have in the world is the first day. And it gets worse all the time." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I was in St. Louis, Missouri in a tavern. I was high on dope and liquor." And he said, "I didn't have a friend, didn't have a dime." And he said, "I was sitting there at the bar drinking. And I said, I wonder if anybody in the world loves me. He said it was about 9 o'clock one night. And I got to thinking, does anybody in the world love me? And he said, preacher, he said, your face came into my mind. And I got up off the stool in the bar and I said, yes, there is. There's one person that loves me. And that's my preacher. And he said, no, what he's doing right now too, he's in his office counseling, trying to help people. He said, preacher, I walked out of that bar. He said, preacher, I came as fast as I could. And I came last night. I was in the bar. He said, preacher, you got to help me. You got to help me. It's always that. Nobody comes to my office saying, preacher, my life is wrecked and ruined. I believe what you said. But if you do not believe what's preached from this pulpit, you always end up with a broken heart. You always do. At first, you can't tell it's off course. Something else. This arrow here goes where that bow will never go. That bow stays home. Shoot it just a little ways over there, would you? Yeah. All right. Wow. You do know how to operate that thing, don't you? Point one at Dr. Evans. Now look, won't you notice this? The bull stayed home. Archer stayed home. I want to speak to these kids right here because they're mine. In just a matter of 2 or 3 or 4 years, you'll be gone from here. And we'll stay here. And while you're somewhere in a distant city, rearing a family or so, we'll still be here. We stay here. What does that mean? That means the only chance we have to do something is for you to go do it for us. Tonight, somewhere in Texas, Mrs. Bethel, or this afternoon, Mrs. Bethel sits. She's too old to teach Sunday school now. She's unable to be a beginner superintendent. But she launched me 52 years ago. And I'm going all over this world representing Mrs. Bethel and telling people that God loves them, like she told me. And there was Mr. Bethel, her husband, my primary teacher. And there was Mr. Atwood, my junior teacher, and Mr. Squires, my junior high teacher. And there was my high school teacher, my high school teachers, Dr. Rutherford, and Mr. Troy Jackson, and Sam Montgomery, and Proctor Boyd. And I went through the assembly line of a local church. Then they launched me. They're back in Dallas. Mr. Boyd's dead, gone to heaven. And I'm sure most of the others are gone, but a few maybe are up in years now. But they launched me, and I go where they cannot go. I carry their hopes, and if I fail, they fail. And here's the sad thing about it. After the arrow's gone, the bow has no control. None. You're on your own. You know what we're doing today? Let me show you what we're doing. To see to it that your flight in life is successful and happy. That's what the youth conference is all about. That's what the youth program is all about. That's what your preacher is all about. That's what your youth director is all about. Why? We're trying to get you ready for life so you will end up at the destination intended, so you can reach your goal and reach your best and reach your potential. And what we're doing is we're trying to get you ready for that flight, and we're trying to get you pointed in the right direction. But if you won't go right, we can't send you right. And if you won't be in our hands, we can't tell you what to do. What kind of boat do you have? This nice? I'll make a gift. What does this bull cost you? $200 or $300, you may have it as a gift for helping me today.